Scott, Stephen D. Dawson, registration 5136, and my client Ryan Rivera is present. If it please the court and counsel, this is a case, the issue before the court today is whether the district court had jurisdiction to conduct a de novo hearing on parenting issues. And the key is those issues had already been resolved by an arbitration proceeding. And that arbitration award was dated April 8, 2011. Generally, the court does not have jurisdiction in a dissolution case once arbitration has been chosen as a process to resolve the dispute. And I cite the case of Popak, Henry Marriage of Popak, that's in the brief. Pursuant to the Colorado Arbitration Act, courts do have some limited powers in arbitration cases to review the merits, to review the case, but they may not review the merits themselves. And I cite the case of In Re Marriage of Gavin that's in the brief. However, there is a statute in the Dissolution of Marriage Act, 1410.28.5, that specifically creates two different means by which courts can review dissolution cases that have been arbitrated. The first is, under subsection 1 of that statute, it has to do with motions to vacate or motions to modify or correct the arbitration award. And I'm specifically referring now to the Schmidt case, S-C-H-M-I-T-T, that's cited in the brief. Schmidt specifically describes these two avenues by which courts can review arbitration cases in dissolution matters. However, in this case, there was no motion to vacate, there was no motion to correct or modify the parenting issues. There was a motion to modify a property issue. What was filed was a motion to confirm the award, to confirm the arbitration award with respect to parenting issues. That's the material fact.
So is it possible to treat that as a de novo request?
The motion to confirm cannot be treated as a motion for a de novo hearing. It's just the opposite. Basically, a motion to confirm is asking the trial court to adopt the arbitration award with respect to parenting issues, the parenting plan, as an order of court, as opposed to reviewing it for the purposes of determining whether it was proper or not.
Because I think that becomes a central issue here in the sense that it looks like wife filed something in time within 28 days. And the question is,
what did she file?
What she filed, was that sufficient to cover the de novo part of, as contemplated under 1410.128.5?
Well, if you read the motion that she filed on May 6th, she specifically requested the court confirm the arbitration award with respect to parenting issues. The modification of the arbitration award that she asked be made had to do with the extension of additional time to refinance the house, a property issue. And so what the court had before it on the hearing on the May 6th motion that occurred on May 20th, was a motion to confirm the parenting issues. It did not have a motion to vacate or a motion to modify or correct the parenting plan. It was dealing with a motion to confirm. And that's significant because not only did she not raise statutory grounds to modify the parenting or the separation agreement, the financial issue, she did not even raise any grounds at all to vacate or modify the parenting plan. She only asked that the parenting plan be confirmed. And when there is no motion to vacate, or even if there is a motion to vacate, if there are no statutory grounds on which it can be granted, or if there are no statutory grounds raised to modify or correct the parenting plan, the court, when it's dealing with a motion to confirm an arbitration award, must confirm. It's mandatory.
Okay, let's stop right there, because to me that's the nub of this case. I mean, I understand in other kinds of arbitrations, the court has to confirm the arbitration award if none of these special grounds exist that are not present here. Let's assume for a moment that we were to agree that neither parent timely challenged the arbitration award or raised a proper motion under the Arbitration Act. Does that mean that the court has absolutely no further discretion as to interest issues regarding the best interests of the children? You know, under the Dissolution of Marriage Act, it's a big deal. The courts retain responsibility for deciding what's in the best interests of the children. And I know this isn't this case, but let's say you have two parents who, through their arbitration, agreed upon or entered into a deal that their children, I don't know, wouldn't have to go to school or, you know, make up some goofy thing that they could agree to. Surely, the court in the dissolution case could decline to make that an order of the court, even if it was in arbitration and even if no party wanted to set it aside. You see where I'm going? What's wrong?
Yeah. If I understand your question, you're saying if the court makes a specific determination that the parenting plan is not in the best interest of the child, it should have the power to set aside even an arbitration award. And that's the essence of your position. And you're asking, is there legal authority for that position? And the answer is no. And here's why. First of all, arbitration in general is an exception and deprives the court of jurisdiction. It can't review the merits except in two circumstances. I've already covered the first one. The second one is spelled out in subsection 2 of 1410.128.5. And it talks about requesting a de novo hearing. It has to be done through a written motion, and there's a time limit. That motion has to be filed within 35 days. Now, the wife in this case filed a motion, but she did not file a motion for a de novo hearing of the parenting issues. And under the Schmidt case and the plain language of 1410.128.5, the court doesn't have jurisdiction to grant a de novo hearing if a timely motion is not filed.
I understand under the statute the court couldn't lose jurisdiction to grant such a hearing at the request of either party. My question is, does the court still have some inherent supervisory authority over the determination of the children's best interests, even if both parents think that what they've agreed upon is just swell?
Well, the whole reason for arbitration is to avoid litigation. The whole purpose is to try to limit costs and to resolve disputes in a more efficient manner. If the court had that inherent power, it would have to derive it from common law in some way, or from the Dissolution of Marriage Act. But that would specifically go against what the Dissolution of Marriage Act itself has provided the court in terms of jurisdiction over this issue. It specifically says the court can appoint an arbitrator on parenting issues, and if the court is going to order a de novo hearing, it can only do so if it is requested by a party in writing within 35 days of the date of the arbitration award. So that the Dissolution of Marriage Act itself specifically limits the court's jurisdiction and power and authority to do what you're suggesting it should be able to do. If the court were to do that, it would be going against the Arbitration Act and would be going against the specific language of 1410.128.5(2). And therefore, I think that it's clear that the legislature has limited the court's jurisdiction in this area.
You've answered my question, thank you.
I have a persnickety question to follow up on that. Once the trial court has, once someone has filed, let's say in this instance, a motion to for confirmation, that gives the court jurisdiction, let's say, to do something. But the question is, you've argued in your briefs, and I see your 5 minutes, you got 5 minutes to go here. You've argued in your brief that the court had no jurisdiction to have a hearing on permanent orders. Is that really a jurisdiction thing, or is that an authority thing? They're not interchangeable. So,
well, what the case on point says specifically is that if a timely motion is not filed, then the motion must be dismissed.
That's Schmidt. We said the case on point.
Yes, and I'm perhaps inartfully posing the argument differently than jurisdiction. It lacks authority.
Lacks the authority. Okay, thank you. I don't want you to spend any more time on that.
Okay. And let me see if there's anything else I need to cover. I am saying that because the court had a motion to confirm before, it had limited authority to deal with that motion. And under the circumstances, as I argued in my brief, it was mandatory that it grant that motion. And it was error not to grant the motion to confirm the arbitration award. And I think it's interesting to note that the judge on the day of the permanent orders hearing itself specifically said, parenting issues are not arbitrable. He was not aware of 1410.128.5, or he never could have said that.
Well, nobody raised it, right?
Pardon?
Nobody raised it. So if we don't characterize it as jurisdictional, do you have a little bit of a problem here in that it's an argument that wasn't made in the trial court?
Well, except that in the motion for reconsideration, I raised that issue. And I made...
This statute?
Yes, 1410.128.5. I specifically raised it and asked him to reconsider his ruling, and he just ignored it. So that's why we're here. I'm going to say, can you have just
thank you, counsel. How much time does he have left?
Absolutely. 2 minutes and 34 seconds.
Thank you. And counsel will do the same thing. I'll ask the bailiff to stand at 5 minutes, and we'll let you know. And then the bailiff will let me know again at 1 minute if you go straight through on your time, and I'll let you know when you have 1 minute up as well.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Charlene Aiken, bar number 35396. I represent Sarah Riviera, who's the appellee in this case, and trial counsel Mr. Hewlin is also at counsel's table. There are three issues in this case. One is the central issue that appellant has talked about today, and it is the trial court properly set the parenting time issues for permanent orders since wife's motion to confirm the arbitration award also sought a timely request for a de novo hearing to modify the award, thereby triggering the trial court's jurisdiction under 1410.128.5. The other two issues, if I have time, are that the trial court did not vacate the arbitration award and it properly confirmed the award in part pursuant to 1322.222 and the attorney's fees issue. The first issue is that the trial court's jurisdiction pursuant to 1410.128.5 was triggered. And in that statute, an arbitrator's award shall be effective immediately upon entry and shall continue in effect until modified by the court pursuant to de novo hearing under subsection 2. And subsection 2 states that any party may move the court to modify the arbitrator's award pursuant to a de novo hearing concerning such award by filing a motion for hearing no later than 30 days after the date of the award.
Was the request to modify the award, was that conditional upon it not the hearing being held on a certain date? Wasn't that what the issue was? I may be misremembering that.
Was the motion?
The request to modify it was, I thought that was conditional only if the trial court couldn't get to the motion and by a certain date.
That is correct, Your Honor. It was that a request for a forthwith hearing, and that request was based on some financial terms within the order, and that it was alternatively to modify if the hearing could not be made within a certain amount of time.
Is it true that with regard to parental issues at the time that your client filed the motion, that you didn't have any problems with parenting issues, and in fact you thought that part should be affirmed because it was in the best interest of the child?
At the time of filing the motion, that is correct, that counsel was unaware that the witness did not believe that the arbitration award was in the best interest of the children, and I believe up until the hearing, counsel believed that it was still in the best interest of the children, and upon her testimony at the May 20, 2011 hearing, shocked trial counsel as well as the court and the other parties.
So you weren't asking for a de novo hearing on the parenting issues?
At the May 20, 2011 hearing?
When you filed...
Or during the motion on May 6th.
Yeah, the request.
Yes, on the motion on May 6th, there was not a specific request for a de novo hearing pursuant to 1410.128.5. But as you asked the question to my opposing counsel, I think that the motion that was filed 28 days after the arbitration award needs to be treated as a request for a de novo hearing under 1410.128. And I think there are some serious policy considerations that need to be taken into consideration of the statute to protect the best interests of the children. And when we look at the Marriage of Leverett case, which is a recent April 26, 2012 Colorado Supreme Court case, and in that, it talked about the specific statute of 1410.128.5. And that didn't particularly deal with the best interest of the statute, but it did talk about that in dissolution cases, the Uniform Dissolution of Marriage Act takes precedence over other laws, including those applicable to the alternative dispute resolution. And that case discussed a 2010 case, Marriage of Barker, which did address a mediated agreement to modify parenting time, which was decided under the best interest of the child standard. And it was a matter exclusive to the Uniform Dissolution of Marriage Act. And the best interest of the child has to be the controlling factor for the trial court when entering any order relating to parenting time. And so wife's request for a hearing in the motion, alternative to confirming the award pursuant to 1322, should be treated as a de novo request for a hearing.
Now, counsel, there's also another policy out there, right? And that would be finality in parental responsibility disputes that we ought to be looking after. Wouldn't you agree that finality at some point also becomes important and is an important consideration?
Yes, I believe that finality of parenting disputes is a policy consideration, and then it comes to weighing the policy considerations of 1410.124 with that finality of a arbitration award. And I have looked outside of Colorado jurisdiction.
Well, before you go outside, and I'll let you in a minute, but I want to go back to my colleague's question, Judge Vogt's question, to your counterpart. And she was asking sort of hypothetically to sort of the opposite of finality, that the best interests have to at some point prevail if the parents made some kind of a goofy decision. I think she was giving an example about a child doesn't have to go to school. How far out, I mean, is there a statute of limitations? How far out can you go with that kind of an argument? Can you bring it back into the court to make that determination?
Well, I think here we have an arbitration award. We have 28 days later a motion to confirm that award. Then we have a hearing shortly after that. Wife says it's not in the best interest of the child. The court then sets the matter for a permanent orders hearing to make an independent determination of whether the parenting plan was in the best interest of the children, but actually under a de novo hearing, it would be to conduct an entirely new hearing to determine what parenting plan would be in the best interest of the children. So I think that it should be where a trial court has to give one look, one, you know, independent interpretation, whether it's reviewing the arbitration award to determine if it meets the best interest of the child, or under the Colorado statute, holding an entirely new hearing, a de novo hearing, to make that determination in conformance with that best interest of the child standard. And I think that that also lies with some of the other jurisdictions that have given a trial court a independent duty to either review the arbitration award or a de novo hearing, or even some jurisdictions like Ohio that don't even allow for arbitration in child custody and visitation matters as a matter of public policy.
Well, Colorado does, of course. I mean, we've got that statute.
Right.
But could I just
refocus
your argument just a little bit? Let's assume, I know you say that there was a timely motion made and that the statute is implicated. What if we were to disagree with you? Do you agree with Mr. Dawson that this statute deprives the court of further jurisdiction over best interests of the children if the parents don't timely challenge the arbitration award as to parenting? In other words, is this statute kind of the end of the inquiry as to what the trial court can do in a situation where an arbitration award includes provisions regarding the parenting of children?
So let me just understand your question correctly. If neither party had filed any motion within that 30 days, does the trial court then still have the opportunity to go back and determine whether that arbitration award under the best interest of the child? I don't think under this statute 1410.128 that it gives the trial court that authority to do that. I think that this statute does limit it to making it only the authority when that party has requested the court to intervene. And unfortunately, I don't think that the court can, on its own motion, sua sponte, go in and determine whether that arbitration award meets the best interest of the child standard.
Okay, you just said earlier that the UDMA prevails over other provisions of the law, including the Arbitration Act. I'm trying to see where the balance is here between that duty under the UDMA on the part of all trial courts to ensure that parenting decisions are made in the best interest of the children,
right,
as opposed to the very strong policy favoring arbitration, favoring finality in these disputes.
Right.
And I just don't know where that is.
Well, and I think that the trial court, in this case particularly, was conscious of that. And in that hearing, although he knew he was there to confirm the award, which opposing counsel or opposing party was hesitant at first about confirming the award, but then agreed to confirm the award, he did bring up his duty to make sure, and also because in this case we didn't have a stipulation of the parties that said, yes, this is what I agree to, it's in the best interest of the children. So I think with those circumstances, the court did recognize that, you know, parenting time issues, I still have the ultimate responsibility to make sure they're within the best interest of the children. So, Your Honor, maybe even if I don't know, I mean, this is just speculation, but if wife had said yes, it was in the best interest of the children, and husband had said so as well, I don't know if the court would have taken an independent duty to review that to make sure.
Counsel, you have less than 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
I've been looking for an opportunity to tell you that.
But I think that the court did recognize and explain that it's very rare that domestic cases do go to arbitration, and that the trial judge should decide whether that agreement is reached in the best interest of the children. And the trial judge brought out the fact that the children cannot, you know, protect themselves, and that it's the court's duty to make sure that these children are protected, and that the parents can agree to whatever they want, but those protections, but the parents not necessarily know what's in the best interest of the children, maybe just in the best interest of each parent. And I'd like to move to the second issue, which is that the trial court here did not vacate the arbitration award. Neither party sought to vacate the arbitration award. And it did properly confirm the award in part pursuant to 1322.222. I don't think they, and the statute is unclear whether the confirmation has to be in an entirety or part. And because it's unclear, I think that the trial court acted properly in confirming the non-parenting time issues of the arbitration award. And lastly, on the attorney's fees, husband has made a request pursuant to 1322.225 that he should be awarded his attorney's fees, and wife has also made a request for reasonable attorney's fees and costs pursuant to 1410.119. When we look at 1322.225, it does allow for a district court to add reasonable attorney's fees when there is an application of a prevailing party to a contested judicial proceeding under 1322.222-224. Here, there's not clear that there has been a prevailing party per se to this parental dispute arbitration award, and husband has made no argument that he qualifies as a prevailing party under the statute. There is no contested judicial proceeding here on confirmation of award. Both parties wanted this award to be confirmed. Initially, wife did, and then husband in his motion to confirm the award after the hearing on July 27, 2011. Even in the May 20, 2011 hearing, it started that both parties wanted the award to be confirmed, and it was only later that wife testified that the agreement was not in the best interest of the children. So husband is not entitled to any attorney's fees under this 1322.225, and such request should be denied. And alternative, and secondly, wife's request for attorney's fees under 1410.119, there is a huge disparity of the party's earning capacities for an award of attorney's fees to be permissible. The record, contrary to the reply brief, does not support husband's argument that he takes home $7,000 and pays a little over $6,000 a month to support wife, and the financial statement that he has forwarded to the record is over two years old. But the record does support that husband's income is 8 times more than wife's income, and she entirely has child support and maintenance as her sole income. In conclusion, I would appellee request that this court affirm the trial court's July 27, 2011 order confirming the award with respect to non-parenting time issues and setting the parenting time issues and attorney's fees for permanent orders, and to award appellee her reasonable attorney's fees and costs. Thank you.
Counsel, thank you. Mr. Dawson, you have 2 minutes and 34 seconds.
The issue comes down to, was there a motion requesting a de novo hearing on parenting issues? And I think the record is clear that there was a motion to confirm the arbitration award with respect to parenting issues. And only after that motion was heard, at the hearing itself, more than 35 days after the arbitration award, did she give the wife give any indication that she had any problem with the parenting plan at all. In fact, her motion asked the court to find that the parenting plan was in the best interest of the children and to confirm the arbitration award with respect to parenting issues. Therefore, even if you treat her testimony on May 20 as a request for a de novo hearing on parenting issues, it was untimely. And under the plain language of 1410.128.5(2) and the Schmidt case, the court did not have the ability to grant that request. It was error to set the case for permanent orders. In my motion for reconsideration, I specifically asked the court, rather than have permanent orders, if you think you have the authority to address the best interest of the children, look at the expert's report. There was a professional evaluation report by Dr. Dana Kogan, who's a very respected psychologist, or psychiatrist rather, and let the wife actually explain what her objection to the parenting plan is, because she did not actually say, 1 minute, she did not actually say on May 20 that she didn't think it was in the best interest. What she said was, I don't think it was fair that I didn't get to have a second opinion. She never said, in my opinion, this agreement is not in the best interest of the children. In fact, she specifically said that I don't want to have the agreement set aside. I just don't feel comfortable with the fact and don't think it was fair that I didn't get a second opinion. Well, she waived that. She could have asked for that, and she didn't. So what I'm asking the court to do is to confirm the arbitration award and to remand the case to the trial court for further proceedings consistent with the Arbitration Act, which would specifically require the parties to reduce the separation agreement and parenting plan in writing.
All right, thank you very much. Counsel, thank you both for your arguments, for your excellent arguments. And on behalf of the court, I apologize to both of you for the lighting situation. This is the first day we've had oral arguments in the new court. I had mentioned there could be some bugs. We found one of them. And so thank you for that. And with that, the case will stand submitted and an opinion will issue in due course. And